afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, August 29th, 2022. Howdy do. I have to rhyme. I can't help it when I say 2022. Butch Paul.
Yeah. Hello. I was sitting there thinking about this song with Mamas and Papas, Monday, Monday, Can't Trust That Day. Remember that song?
I do.
It's Monday again. I think Monday comes the quickest of any day in the week.
You know what? I think you're probably correct.
I do believe it does.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. And weekends, they've shortened it down to 12 hours. It used to be 48, now they're shortening back 12 hours.
I think that, yes. It helps global warming, climate changing.
Uh-huh. Anyway, happy Monday, everybody. Glad you're with us.
Happy Monday to you and everyone out there. And, well, let's take a peek at gold today. We can have a happy Monday for gold, too. We woke up strong. 1776 was the high. Now we're at 1738, so it did have a big correction. But we're now down just a buck off of the day at 1739. Silver's down 14 pennies at 1887 and had the same kind of a day. Silver was in 1931 at one point earlier this morning, and they were able to reverse it. Platinum was up $3 at 874. Palladium was up 16, 2,210. A little pressure on the dollar, but it's pretty much the same as Friday, 108.82. Crude oil was up almost $4 at $96.99. Paper markets today, the Dow did close. It was a lot lower earlier in the day, 300 points. It came back, went into positive territory, and now it's struggling. We're still down 184 points at 32,099. S&P was down 27 at 4,030. NASDAQ was down 1% at 12,017. Asian markets, Shanghai was stronger, rest negative. Europe was negative across the board. 10-year yield, 3.114, 3.11 on the 10-year yield. And natural gas, WTI was up a little over 4%, which I already gave you that number. Brent was up 3.85. Natural gas was up a little over 0.75%. So there we have it on that. And, it was Wall Street was trying to recover from Friday's rout, after Powell gave his little speech at the Jackson Hole. Treasuries, it's not a whole lot really going on as far as the markets are concerned. Bitcoin dropped below 20,000 to the lowest level since mid-July. Everyone is expecting a 75 basis point ECB September rate hike. Two-year treasuries, they rose to the highest since 2007. That's kind of interesting there. And other than that, there's a lot of other news we're going to talk about. China, Shenzhen, shuts electronics market to fight COVID outbreak. So, that's not going to help any supply chains and any of our problems going forward. So, again, that's just more issues that we're going to have to face. Goldman says buy commodities and worry about recession later. This is Goldman Sachs. So, okay, buy gold. That's a commodity. U.S. homes add rooftop solar at a record clip to cut power bills. I guess that's a good thing if you can afford them. Mm-hmm. Don't go into debt for them. That's the key thing. Don't go into debt. And, everybody's pointing the finger, Butch, at Jay Powell, saying that he didn't react soon enough, like this is his problem, that, he's causing all these issues and so forth. The real problem is Treasury people did, the Fed people did prior to even Powell, talking Greenspan, Bernanke, how they consistently veered towards a looser and a more precarious policy course. And Doug Newland has a good commentary. You'll find that in our newsletter this week. And you know, they just kept doing it and doing it. Greenspan, they just handed the keys to the nation, to Wall Street, trying to process a prolonged cycle with this runaway monetary inflation. They created these speculative bubbles. I mean, they really did create the biggest problem.
Well, and, of course, the Fed is the problem, period.
The Fed is the problem, but we have the Fed, and that's what we have to deal with.
Exactly. But it's a problem. Pointing fingers at Powell and the rest of them, no, it's the Fed, period.
No, they ran the Fed, and they're the ones that created these bubbles and gave it all to Wall Street instead of doing what they should have done within the Fed's. Granted, we shouldn't have a Fed. I agree. We shouldn't have a Federal Reserve. I agree with that. But we do have it. And they're the ones that continue to create all of these phony recreations of an economy after all of these so-called recessions, only by funneling money into Wall Street. And it was all about Wall Street. They're the ones that continued. If they would have left these recessions fall, they didn't bail anybody out. They didn't keep creating and printing all this money, and we would have had little hard times along the way. We still wouldn't be where we're at today, you know. So,
well, every economy, even if we were still based on a real economy of real money, there's ups and downs in all economies.
Absolutely.
That's natural. They happen. You get through them, and they correct themselves eventually. If you have a real economy, we have a made-up economy. The Fed, it's not an economy. It's a fairly controlled money printing operation. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Fed controlled. It's not government. It's not the folks. The Fed is not government. It's a private bank corporations deciding how to bankrupt and control the people, and they're doing a very good job of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, everybody says that, you know, it's going to be, you know, they'll let it fall when they're ready to let it fall and so forth and whatnot. I think they're just going to let it go until it either falls on its own because they become more powerful, more wealthy. And that's what it's all about. It keeps Wall Street going. And, you know, our economy is Wall Street. That's our economy. So
that's true.
It's
it makes it even worse. We're no longer a manufacturing economy. We're a consuming economy. That's always been bad. We no longer manufacture. We consume and consume and consume. If we don't manufacture our own products, then we got to buy them somewhere else. So that's always a bad situation. It's going to crumble. It has no choice.
And every time there's a problem in a situation, they always come out with all of these ways to fix it. But the thing of it is, nobody ever asks why. Why are we having this problem? How did we get here? How do we change it? Let's just not keep adding money and funneling money to it. Why? How do we change it? How do we stop it? You know, but anyway, we can't cure that world, but we can talk about it. But yeah, now, you know, and it's interesting as we're going into fall, and anything can happen at any time. We're going to wake up one day and we're going to say, wow, as much as we all knew this was going to happen, we didn't know when it was going to happen. We knew what was going to happen. And when it does happen, we're all going to be shocked.
Yes.
Surprised, scared, frightened. The more prepared you are, the less of those emotions you'll feel. But you'll have family to deal with.
And neighbors.
And neighbors. And but now, you know, and again, those who are holding retirement accounts, I just can't imagine why you think you're going to walk away with no harm and that it'll automatically grow back like it did in 2008. The Nikkei dropped. I think they were moving in on 40,000. They made it back, what, halfway in, what, 30 years? So it doesn't come back that easy, not after you hit those bottoms. So, you know, there's, you know, another 50%. I think the Dow, yeah, you might see the Dow around 10, but I think that's where you'll see gold at, too. So, anyway,
just
what
a matter
do you
of
have?
Time. Just
yeah,
a matter of time.
Yeah.
It's been coming for a long, long, long time. And anyone who has, anybody who's old enough to remember the 1950s and 60s like I am, and the 70s, Can you see it start coming? Yeah. It starts coming about. You can see the whole thing starting to crumble in a lot of different ways. And ever since we got off the silver standard for individuals inside this country, it's really put a hurt on us. And when Nixon dropped the gold standard to back the dollar, we really have been playing on borrowed time, so to speak. We haven't had a real economy since then, Melody, to amount to anything, have we?
No, we haven't.
So it's just, folks, it's just been coming a long time, but it's finally starting to tell us a little bit. Well, I just read, you know, I like to keep an eye on things that we're seeing on the news and everything, other places. I don't watch a whole lot of world news. It makes me angry because it's just flat out lies. But they really want to promote, of course, the green movement and electric cars. Well, I want to just tell you, folks, this is my opinion. This is Melody's opinion. California Electric Company admits it will never be able to charge everybody's electric vehicles. Never. Forget it. The Golden State just enacted a new provision to phase out the sale of all gasoline vehicles by 2035. The only problem is that the state's energy grid is already on the verge of collapsing. Now, folks, just let that sink in a second. There is simply no way that tens of millions of cars, trucks, and even tractor trailers will be able to hook up for a charge all at once, day in and day out, without killing the grid and leaving the entire state in the dark. Research from University of California, Irvine, say they are trying to figure out how to provide enough electricity to charge all those cars once a rule comes into effect. And folks, the politicians know that. They know this. They're not stupid. They know this is what's going to happen. The grid does not currently have the capability to add millions of battery electric, or even fuel cell electric vehicles today, says Chuck Brower, a professor of the mechanical and aerospace engineering at UCI. So we have some time to make reasonable investments in the grid and enable this to actually happen, and to happen well. That's going to take a major overhaul, Melody. That's not just going to happen, boom, you know, it's fixed. It ain't going to happen that way. They can't. If they're going to phase them up by, if I say, 2035, I don't see how they're going to do that and build a grid that powerful to handle this. I mean, let's face it, they haven't been able to build a grid powerful enough to handle what they have now. What are they going to do when it really gets nasty? Any comments on that?
Well, you know what? A lot of these states, when you hear information like this coming out, all they're doing is setting up so they can get subsidies from the federal government. I mean, that, you know, because if they're saying that, guess who's going to be getting the money? Those that are going to be whining the loudest. That's what it's doing. They're going to get billions of dollars from the taxpayers to build and to reform their infrastructure, their electrical structures and so forth. So that's what it's all about. And it's disgusting. Money's going to go there. Billions, trillions of dollars of taxpayers' money is going to be spent on this ordeal. And
will taxpayers ever figure out that we're getting shafted every day?
No, they don't seem to care. Nobody ever says anything.
No, really. I mean, Biden's so-called loan forgiveness.
My understanding, half the people of this country don't pay taxes anyway.
Well, a lot of them don't earn welfare. They don't pay taxes. They live off us anyway. You know that.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. I don't like it, but I'm telling the truth. But Biden supposedly forgive about $1 trillion in debt for student loans. Who's going to snatch it up and run with it? Not the colleges. No. No, it's going to be
Colleges already get subsidies from governments and so forth.
They do.
It's like, you know, and yet, well, we'll have to see if that still gets passed. But, you know, it will, just like Obama's DACA program. He comes out and says, hey, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I don't have the power to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Uh-huh.
And who stops him?
Yes.
It's up to the next president to stop this. So when the next president comes along, it's like, you're not going to do that. Look, all the hassle that Trump got when he tried to do it. So it's just, I don't know.
Well, and folks, this isn't just in California. Australian bank announces it will ban loans for petrol, gasoline, or diesel cars in order to fight climate change and encourage electric vehicles. An Australian bank will stop approving personal loans for new petrol and diesel powered cars from 2025 as the federal government flags tough new fuel efficiency standards. Electric vehicles will this year have a minuscule 1.6% market share, even when Tesla sales were included, with starting price at $47,000 and a lack of charging stations turning off many potential motorists. But the customer-owned Bank Australia wants to change that in a bid to reduce carbon emissions linked to climate change. Its chief impact officer, Sasha Corvell, told the National Electric Vehicle Summit in Canberra on Friday the bank's new policy was an important step in decarbonizing, what a word, the Australian economy. Folks, carbon is part of nature. You can't get rid of it anyway. We won't. By ceasing car loans for new fossil fuel vehicles, we're sending a signal to the Australian market about this rapid acceleration in the transition from internal combustion to electric vehicles we expect to see in the next few years. Australian bank will stop approving personal loans for new petrol and diesel-powered cars from 2025 as the federal government flags tough new fuel efficiency standards. Wow. So we've chosen 2025 because the change to electric vehicles needs to happen quickly. And we believe it can be with the right supporting policies in place to bring a greater range and more affordable electric vehicles in Australia. 2 years, Melody. 2 years. They want that swap. They want that change. 2 years. Not 20 years. 2 years. 2023 is all but here. So this is being forced on everybody worldwide.
Well, you know what's probably funny, though, is foreign vehicles probably cost half of what ours would over here.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Of course, no doubt.
Yeah, theirs will be really, really cheap, just like everything else. Yeah.
Well, again, they're lining us up for another hit, another takedown. And I don't know if American people will ever get their eyes open enough to say this is enough, we're not going back any further. I don't know they ever will. We see a little bit of pushback in different areas, but never seem to last long. It's just it's a flare-up, and it's going. It just goes and move. And if they pay attention to it at all, generally they ignore what the people are saying altogether. Obviously, they won't be doing it at all. So this is where we sit in this country and around the world. After the break, a lot more news shared by what's kept coming in this country, in poor California, but also around the world, what's happening financially. It's just not a good picture, and it's coming home to roost to us real soon.
So, I know.
Go ahead, Millie.
Real soon, we're going to be right into a break, so you just ended that just perfect, Butch.
All right.
All right, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Cause I really need to work, but hitting up my buddies got me feeling like a jerk. $100 car, no $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living, working for a living, working for a living, never ever working. I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, all things and what they used to be, lost now. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby all the night. Mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be.
Ain't that true?
Isn't that true? Things just ain't what they used to be. And
well, that includes me.
Well, I'm not there yet, so I'm still.
I know, you're still trying to get to 40. I hear you. We all have
I love lying to myself, but hey, somebody's got to do it. Anyway, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And next week is going to be Labor Day, and we will be closed on Monday, going into a three-day weekend. I'm not sure what our schedule is going to be on Friday. I think it's going to be a hectic after Labor Day, so we might also take Friday off. Not quite sure yet, but we'll let you know on Thursday. So, but for sure, Monday, 1-800-375-4188. Butch?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you have for us?
Let me see what's next here. I think you'll find it. And, folks, I mean, there's no way you can get around this. I mean, I just read in the day there's a shooting in a grocery store somewhere. I didn't catch where. In the grocery store, and another shooting. The society is totally collapsing around us. Well, it's so bad now in San Francisco. The shop owners threatened to stop paying taxes unless the city tackles crime.
Here you go. That really is the key.
Yeah, it is. It
really is.
That's definitely the key.
Yep.
It's definitely the key.
I can't
Poland
go on the air and tell people to do that.
Well, it's definitely the key. Poland did it back in the 80s, and look what happened there. But anyway, business owners in San Francisco's Castro District have absolutely had it with the city's inaction over burglaries, vandalism, and violent homeless people camping on the sidewalks in front of storefronts and residents. And by the way, here in West Virginia, Charleston, the west side of Charleston is almost like the Wild West used to be back in the 1880s. The mayor of Charleston said she's sick of this. And this is a paraphrase. She's tired of it. Said the court system, the justice system, is turning them loose as fast as we capture them. We're getting tired of arresting the same ones over and over and over again. That's what she said. And she's right. She's right. Anyway, San Francisco has established a reputation as a capital for fringe culture and leftism, much of which converges in the enclave of Castro. The first drag queen story hour event ever took place in Harvey Milk Memorial Branch Library in the neighborhood and was well received. Now, under Democratic leadership, the iconically left community is ready to take drastic measures toward radical American patriotism. 3 days ago, the San Francisco Chronicle reported this. For years, business owners in San Francisco's Castro District have complained to city officials that homeless people struggling with mental illness and drug addiction have wreaked havoc on the neighborhood. Now, merchants say the situation has gotten so bad that they're threatening to possibly stop paying city taxes and fees. The threat arrives from a letter drafted and sent to city officials by Castro Merchants Association on August 8th. According to the co-president, David Caracker, if the calls are neglected, the response will be civil disobedience, including refusal to pay taxes. Caracker said if the city can provide the basic services for the businesses to become a successful business, then what are we doing? What are we paying for? You can't have a vibrant, successful business corridor when you have people passed out on drugs littering your sidewalk. That's been coming on for San Francisco for a long time, folks. It kind of I don't have to say this. They kind of deserve it. It's because they started there a long time ago. As I said, the leftists and liberal side. Now it's getting so bad the businesses can't function. And they said, we're not going to pay taxes. Good for them. If every business in this country would say no more taxes, small businesses, I know corporations aren't going to do it. They don't care. But small businesses say, no, we're not paying more taxes, buying more licenses. I don't need this. Until you get this straightened up, you'd be surprised how things could come to a screeching halt, because without taxes, governments can't operate. As I've said before, even the best government is a leech. That's what government is. It's a leech. It feeds off the people. It has to. And there's righteous government. It has to be fed. But it doesn't make any difference. It's still feeding off the people. It's when they get to be the size they are in America today, they're bleeding the people dry. They're sucking them dry. And that's when enough is enough. It's way more than enough already. Do you agree, Melody?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you have to have government and so forth. I get that. But I mean, we're at a point in time with the amount of money that's being spent, it's just abusive. And yes. There's just no control. There's absolutely, and they have to do this. They have to spend in order to keep everybody employed. That's who keeps everybody employed. All the subsidies that goes out to all of these multinational corporations, all these stupid little private research and development companies, all the billions of dollars that are now going into the electric vehicle manufacturers and subsidies it's to keep the economy going. And it's like they're going to keep doing it. Politicians are getting paid all their bonuses and all this kind of stuff. There's nothing, you can't address anything. Nothing will change. That's the only thing that people truly have in their power anymore is by not paying their taxes.
Very true.
Can't do it on an individual. You can't do it individually. But you can't really tell people not to do it, get in trouble. But it does make people, so good for them.
Well, the only way you can
sometimes there's right ways of doing it and wrong ways of doing it.
And it could be done. I know it could be done with a little bit of organization, but from the right people, it could be done. And they can't put everyone in jail. If all business shut down, they cannot put everyone in jail. And they can't.
No,
they
but
can't,
they can wipe out all of your accounts.
Well, that's going to, they can do that. But when the money's going, it's going. They can't feed themselves any longer.
Right.
You see, you cut off the blood supply to it, it'll die. It'll wither and die.
Yep.
There's no choice. So, folks, this is hard talk, but it is what it is. It is what it is. Your low fuel supply in northeastern U.S. causes heating concerns as summer fades. See, folks, this we're going to talk more about overseas in a minute. It's really happening overseas in Europe big time. But this is also coming to America. Diesel and heating oil supplies in Northeast are more than 50% below the recent average, raising concerns that an extreme weather event could cause supply disruptions, federal officials said. Fuel supplies are lower than normal across the country for a variety of reasons, including the war in Ukraine, but it's the worst in the Northeast. Diesel fuel and heating oil, which comprise a distillate category, are 63% below the five-year average in New England and 50% below the same average from Maryland to New York, according to a survey by the Department of Energy. Gasoline inventories are not as bad, but are still at their lowest levels in nearly a decade along the East Coast, the agency said. So, folks, it's good. I don't know what's going to turn around now between now and I mean, gee whiz, fall starts next month. Winter's going to be here real soon. So starting next month and the end of next month, generally in September, you start kicking heat on the morning, knock the chill off, don't you, Melody?
Our temperatures here are going to be absolutely beautiful here in the next week and a half. It's unbelievable.
I know it's going to be really hot here in the 90s, but I'm talking about the end of September and October.
Yeah.
You start.
No, I mean, we're really cool. We're really cool.
Oh, you're cool.
We're
cool. Hot down here. Wow.
We're in the high 70s.
It's 90 degrees here right now.
It's like no, what do they call it in September?
What did they call it? I don't. Indian
We're
summer.
We're giving
summer,
our age
know,
away.
Indian
but
summer, I think it was. Whatever
Indian
it used
summer,
to be.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. But nonetheless, if this works out to be what it is, not only prices are going to go up, but people, if they can't even find it to buy it. And we're going to cover that in just a minute, what's going on in the U.S. and Europe, and it's really getting nasty there. But the BP refinery in Whiting burns. Energy Emergency declared. Now, folks, this is in the Midwest. The U.S. Department of Transportation has declared a regional emergency for Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin after a fire shut down the BP oil refinery in Whiting, Indiana, I guess it is. The largest in Midwest, though there hasn't been an impact on gas prices so far. I believe 25% of the fuel from Michigan comes from that facility. That could really make things interesting. The fire took place in the refinery's powerhouse and led to a loss of cooling water that could potentially damage equipment, according to Bloomberg. But the extent of this problem is reportedly limited to a small area of the facility, and no injuries were reported. The shutdown comes to an inopportune time, just ahead of the harvest in much of the Midwest, and U.S. gasoline supplies are at their lowest August level since 2015. The Whiting Refinery is a major storage place for crude oil used to make gasoline, and its supplies could be moved to Cushing, Oklahoma, in the event of a long-term closure, according to Bloomberg. So I don't know what this is going to amount to. It's inconvenient, to say the least. I can't imagine not raising prices on the fuel. I just generally, anytime there's a burp like that, prices will go up very quickly. Maybe it won't this time, I don't know. But I can't see it not causing some kind of disruption in the supply chain, so to speak. But we will see what comes, because before you know it, folks, it's going to be fall and winter.
And usually people will buy their heating oil and so forth this time of the year, before that time gets here, because it's usually a little cheaper now, before they switch over from driving energy to heating. So.
We don't have a small solar system here in the house, and I put that in years and years ago, back before it got through the roof in prices, and it doesn't do much, and it's getting old now. I mean, the system batteries are, of course, getting weaker. They do it all the time. Eventually, they have to replace the battery pack, but it still works somewhat, so I'm going to have it wired into my wooden coal furnace so that the blower motor that puts air into the firebox and the blower motor that puts the heat into the house will work. I won't worry about electricity. I can hook it up. I can switch from electricity, flip it over to run off the solar system. And really, basically, all I need is heat. I got everything else. I have a whole house generator if I need to use it, but I prefer just to use the solar system to keep the house warm. So these are things that I've thought about over the years, and I've tried to work towards, Melody, as time goes along, to repair. And the solar system is not big enough to run the house. It won't do it. But it can keep the furnace running and keep us warm. That's kind of important in wintertime, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is.
So these are things people need to think about. You don't need a huge system. This is probably a bigger need for that. But it's getting old, like I said, and the batteries are not charging as high as they used to. But it will still take care of heat. That's why I kept the wooden coal furnace in the basement.
And you know what, too? Go ahead. You don't need to have a whole system to do your whole house. I mean, have a room. Something that can keep your refrigerator going. Something that you can provide with a light. I mean, you don't have to, you know, have it so like you have power throughout the whole house. I mean, you know,
this would not do the whole house, obviously, but it'd do a room. It'd keep
the light
bulb
on. Yeah, that's all you need. Yeah.
But you know, we stocked up though. When I have kerosene lanterns, and I have kerosene stocked for those lanterns, made for the lanterns, so it'll burn clean. I wouldn't last 30 years. But I can make it several months without worrying about a lot of things. So I'm just thinking ahead, people. And there have been times we've been without electricity for 11 days. Those lanterns came in awful handy. Just before I had a whole house generator.
I think the most I was out for like 4.
When you go without 11 days and they take cold showers, that'll wake you up in the morning. I won't tell you that. But anyway. But now we're going back. This is going into Europe. And folks, this is what we're going to see coming to America. We saw it in Texas a couple of years ago with the problem with the rolling blackouts when it got so cold in Texas there a couple of years ago. I mean, they were hurting for electricity then. Swiss politicians form Stop the Blackouts Coalition. We cannot do without nuclear power plants. They're finally waking up that they got scammed, people. With the Swiss people anxiously awaiting Tuesday's governmental unveiling of their cunning plan to cope with potential energy shortages caused by the war in Ukraine, which is largely expected to push for voluntary cuts by consumers, Reuters reports that a group of Swiss politicians has formed Stop the Blackouts, which will launch a petition to seek a revision to the country's energy policy to guarantee adequate power and supplies and keep nuclear as part of the mix. Switzerland produces more power than it consumes, but it's reliant on neighbors for imports in the winter. Switzerland plans to close its 5 nuclear reactors following a 2017 decision prompted by safety concerns after 2011 nuclear disaster in Fukushima. Japan has already shut one reactor. Until recently, Switzerland had safe and virtually CO2-free electricity production. The environmentally and climate-friendly combination of hydro and nuclear power is to be abandoned for no reason at all, said the website. As a reminder, under Swiss direct democracy, its constitution can be changed via a referendum if 100,000 signatures are collected within 18 months, although an actual outcome could take years. We cannot do without nuclear power plants, Vanessa Murray, president of the Stop the Black House Committee, said, and the only committee member who is not a politician, told Swiss newspaper Sonntags. So they're wanting to restart their nuclear generators. I don't like nuclear, folks. No, I don't. Japan was a very serious situation, It's still affecting the Pacific Ocean, but it does work. It does work. I don't like it, but if I tell you I had to fall back on, they cut their own throat when they sanctioned Russia. Russia controls the heat for a lot of countries in Europe. I mean, it truly does. If it cuts off the gas line, a lot of people are going to get cold, whether they like it or not.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, I don't know where, you know, perhaps Japan could have made a better decision on where they place their, you know, the Fukushima. Maybe it could have been placed in a better, you know, I don't know if those decisions have anything to do with it, but we saw it in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You know,
Not really bad, but yeah, I don't like them either, but they do work.
They do work.
But I wish there was some other way to go about it. But I mean, that's just the way it is, folks. They do work. And after the break, we'll discuss what's happening now in Europe as far as what's happening. People are over there starting to really panic, to say the least. We're going to find that in Poland, people are getting in line for days to buy a few ton of coal. They're getting in line for days, sleeping in the cars. Yeah, we're going to discuss that in a little bit. We're going to go break in a few seconds. But what do you want to say to take us to break?
Is that a little bit of a panic that they're, you know, making a rush and, you know, are they creating, you know, kind of like with our toilet paper here, everybody was afraid of running out, so everybody theirs, and they're, you know, they're trying to get a little bit more, usually getting it earlier and maybe a little more than what they normally do, and it kind of creates the same situation to, you know, that it takes longer.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
So it's,
I mean, they can't get it out fast enough.
They can't get it out fast enough. So, but you know what? They're facing something that's real scary because they don't really know what can happen with Ukraine. And they see the buildup and they see, you know, so I would probably want to do the same thing, especially when it comes to heat. So looking forward to that. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financials.
What?
I said, go, Melody.
Hey, hey. Let's forget about news. Let's just all do a 20 minutes of radio exercise, radio dance. Everybody that's listening, you need to stand up. And, well, let's not go there. So, all right, let's get back to let's see what you got me on, Butch.
It's
anyway.
Faces you drive and no stand up. Well, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it's called chair dancing. You can do it sitting down. We call it chair dancing. Anyway, you're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And heading into the break, we were talking a little bit more about Europe.
Yes, we were. And, folks, we cover serious news. If you can tell, Melody and I really enjoy each other's company and laughing. So with Todd also, laughing through the program. It's serious, but laughter is a gift given to us by our Creator. Let's use it. The Bible says a merry heart worketh good like a medicine. So let's try to laugh with our friends and family and have fun with them. That's what I think is important. We're covering a lot of serious topics, though, and this is another one. Rolling blackouts begin in Europe. Rolling blackouts begin in Europe. Not enough gas to generate electric. Rolling blackouts have begun in Kosovo because the country cannot find enough supply of natural gas to keep the power plants running at full capacity. Other European countries, from the UK to Bulgaria, are also developing plans to cut off electricity. Let me repeat that. They're developing plans to cut off electricity. Let that sink in. The reason? These countries imposed economic sanctions upon Russia over special military operation in Ukraine as a result of their own sanctions. I get that. Their own sanctions. These countries now refuse to buy Russian oil and natural gas. Rather than mind their own business when it comes to the Russia-Ukraine problems, Europe has decided that its citizens can live in the dark, so Europe can virtue signal how wonderful they are by not buying Russian natural gas. The politicians in Europe have personally caused this energy problem and the price hikes by imposing sanctions upon Russia. Citizens in Europe should get rid of these politicians before winter arrives and folks start freezing to death from no heat due to no natural gas. And they say that just as plain and without it seems like a lot of emphasis on that. But yeah, folks, they better do some changing with the politicians. And when you're going to punish the one who's feeding you and you just quit getting food off of them, they're not going to go hungry. You are. Same thing with getting warm here. You cut off the heat supply, you're going to get cold. They don't bother Russia. They don't care. You're getting cold. But now, this next article I want to share with you, this is beyond imagination. Polish homeowners line up for days to buy coal ahead of winter. Several weeks ago, we reported that amid Europe's mind-blowing gas and electricity prices, Deutsche Bank predicted that a growing number of German households will be using firewood for heating, a forecast which appears to have become self-fulfilling as German Google searches for firewood has since exploded off the charts. But while Germans are still searching really in the virtual realm for countless poles, the search is all too real. According to Reuters, With Poland still basking in the late summer heat, hundreds of cars and trucks have already lined up at the Lubiski Wiegel Bogdanka coal mine as householders fearful of winter shortages wait for days and nights to stock up on heating fuel ahead of the coming cold winter. Inquiries reminiscent of communist times. Otter, 57, a pensioner, drove up from Swidnik, some 18 miles from the mine in eastern Poland, on Tuesday, hoping to buy several tons of coal for himself and his family. Tulips were put up today. You have folks there, they got purple tulips put up, so they can go because they're waiting in line that long. Tulips were put up today, but there's no running water, he said. After 3 nights of sleeping in a small hatchback, now he's going to haul coal back, several tons of it somehow, in a hatchback. That's going to take several trips, but let's move on. Sleeping in a small red hatchback in a crawling queue of trucks, tractors, towing trailers, and private cars. This is beyond imagination. People are sleeping in the cars. I remember the communist time, but it didn't cross my mind that we would return to something even worse. Arthur's household is one of the nearly 4 million in Poland that rely on coal for heating. Granted, these households are probably in better shape than the ones relying on natural gas, whose prices are rising 10 to 20% every day. And is now almost literally in the stratosphere, and now face shortages and price hikes after Poland and European Union imposed an embargo on Russia coal following Moscow's invasion of Ukraine in February. Poland banned purchases with an immediate effect in April, while the bloc mandated fading them out by August. So again, Poland said, "We're not going to buy coal. We don't want your coal. We're going to sanction you." But now we can't get coal that fast. Well, Poland produces over 50 million tons from its own mines every year. Imported coal, much of it from Russia, is a household staple because of competitive prices and the fact that Russian coal is sold in lumps more suitable for home use. And being someone who burned a lot of coal, walnut-sized lumps of coal, or even bigger than that, are the best for coal. Right. You get too fine, it'll burn. But not as efficiently. Lump coal was the best to burn it, and for heat, it burns a long time. And I myself, Melody, would use wood during the day, and at night I would call bank it down with coal, and it'd burn all night long, keep the house toasty warm. Mm-hmm. But Poland embargoed, shut off the coal from Russia. Now they're having a hard time getting themselves warm with the winter coming up. It seems like most of Europe made a big boo-boo when they tried to sanction Russia. Do you agree?
I agree, absolutely, but we'll see where this all heads.
Well, I do feel sorry for them. I really do. I'm sure the people maybe didn't want to sanction Russia, but when the government does it, that's the sad part. The politicians do it, and the people suffer.
True.
I can promise you the politician won't do it without heat.
Right.
They'll have it somehow. Forget showering. It's eat or heat. For shocked Europeans hit by energy crisis. I know I hit a lot on this because it's important. Without energy, you can do nothing. You can't prepare your food, folks, without energy. No more ironing, limited oven use, and showering at work. Europeans are trying to keep the energy use down, but the bills keep climbing. As wholesale gas and electricity prices surge, many of the people in Europe are now spending a record amount of their income on energy. In the East England town of Crimsby, Philip Keatley didn't turn on his cooling fan at home as Britain sweltered under a record heat wave this summer. A look at the bank account showed he couldn't afford it. The cost of living has increased, and yet you're still expected to live on the money provided when there wasn't a crisis. I can either have my heating on or eat, Keatley said. Come wintertime, folks, it's going to be tough. Citizens in European countries, too, are voluntarily taking action to cut consumption of gas. Electricity and fuel prices have skyrocketed due to the war in Ukraine, sanctions on Russia, and the aftermath of the coronavirus pandemic. Now, listen to this. The benchmark European gas price has soared, Melody, in the last 12 months, 550%.
Wow.
Can you imagine trying to absorb that into your paycheck? The cost of energy for British consumers will raise by... Now, listen to this. It's not done yet. The cost of energy for British consumers will raise by 80% from October. regulator Open said on Friday, taking its average annual household bills at $4,188. Melly, I know people don't even make anywhere near that much a month. But the average household bill on heating will be around energy, $4,188. That's an average annual, I'm sorry, household bill. That's something. It's $400 a month roughly, 550% increase. European governments have rushed to offer aid, but data shows the assistance hasn't made a significant difference to households. So with an increase of 550%, putting them up over $4,000 just for heat alone, that is absolutely just tremendous. 550%. I'd be hard to calculate on how you could add that to your budget and not suffer. Any comments on that?
No, but you know, people. I mean, you know, the one thing people we do kind of do what needs to be done. You know, unfortunately, a lot of it will be done on debt. How long they can sustain it, I don't know.
Well, let's say average heat bill is $150 a month.
Yeah.
Multiply that increase by 550%. What do you have?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
Well, maybe the kids that they have living in the basement, maybe they'll start charging them for rent.
it might have to do that.
Yes.
Criminals stealing cooking oil over price of diesel fuel. Now, by the way, folks, you can rent a car on a diesel car and gasoline, the two after enough processing, on cooking oil. You can. Criminal gangs are raiding, now listen to this, criminal gangs are raiding eateries and restaurants in the UK in search of cooking oils as an alternative to diesel fuel amid soaring gasoline prices. They're actually raiding restaurants, Melody. Type of crime in the UK, criminals steal large tanks of cooking oil. Others deceive businesses by posing as recycling teams. The stolen oil was then processed into biodiesel and sold in the black market. This once again shows how resourceful criminals gangs are, because they are looking for profit anywhere, and with the rising cost of fuel, the market is only thriving. All this is taking place because Europe imposed sanctions upon Russia over the special military operation in Ukraine. It is Europe who banned Russia oil and gas. Then Europe had to go elsewhere to find replacement for the oil and that gas they banned. The only place that could find other oil and gas were places that were already supplying other countries. So when Europe came to the market, the prices went up, supply and demand. Thus, Europe had done this to itself by refusing to mind their own business when it comes to the Russian-Ukraine matter. Europe and all the rest of the world could still be paying about $2 a gallon for gasoline and heating oil, but the sanctions Europe imposed set up all the price hikes in motion. The skyrocketing cost of fuel for energy is a self-imposed harm. So they're right. If we hadn't done all that, you'd probably still be paying $2 a gallon for gas and heating oil instead of what's going to now. And I said this when they first sanctioned Russia. You and I both said this. It's going to bite us. Russia is not going to start it because we sanctioned him. China keep them afloat and vice versa. Is that a good point?
Yes, it is.
So, folks, you got to be careful that you don't bite the hand to feed you. My daddy always taught me that. And he's a pretty smart man, so I learned that I wouldn't dare bite my daddy's hand. So, anyway. And to beat it all, China forgives debt for 17 African nations. Now, China's basically trading debt for resources.
Yes, absolutely.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It's a lot cheaper.
Oh, absolutely. They don't get the money back anyway.
Yep.
So why don't we just forget the debt? We'll forgive your debt if you give us access to your resources.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, that's something to think about. China is actually waiving 23 debts in 17 countries that they couldn't pay it. So it's what they call debt trap diplomacy. Okay? They're alleging the country issues loans in order to eventually secure strategic international assets. Of course, that's a very wise move. They're not going to get the money back anyway, so we'll make you a deal. You sell us your coal, your gold, your silver, or whatever you got. You let us have access to that. Or maybe a place to put a base in your country, military base. We'll forgive your debt. That's a pretty smart move in my mind. Mm-hmm. Any comments?
No, I mean, China's good. This isn't the first time that they've been doing this, especially in Africa. So Africa has all those minerals, and you know, we've gone in there a little bit, but not like China has. So China's out there making friends and trading partners, and what do we do? What do we do? The only thing that we can focus on is selling our debt so we can continue to print money. That's our focus.
Well, China made friends with the Solomon Islands some time back. You know that. They actually had joint military operations not too long ago. Well, the Solomon Islands has now denied U.S. military vessels a port. They can no longer go into port in the Solomon Islands. Now, that's big. But that set off alarm bells in Washington State, in Washington, I mean. The island nation is taking the unprecedented decision to deny U.S. military vessels the ability to dock. They've denied a routine logistic port call by Solomon Islands government. So the United States said, well, now all future clearances will be provided to U.S. ships. But will it? I don't know. But you know, Beijing and Solomon Islands are pretty close allies now. I suspect this has something to do with that because China doesn't want us near their friends and maybe accessing the resources. So the Solomon Islands said no U.S. military ships are going to dock in our port. That is a direct slap in the face. And what really bothered me, Melody, I mean, really think about this. Solomon Islands is not known to be a huge military force, not a lot to be threatened of. But this is like a mouse slapping an elephant in the truck and daring them to do something about it. Well, maybe it used to be. But the respect that the mouse had for the elephants is gone. They've seen the results of what this elephant's turned into, just a bag of air.
Yep.
So they don't care. They don't care what to do. That's going on right now. And the good old U.S. of A. is being laughed at by Solomon Islands. And we're about out of time, Ellie. You want to add anything?
No. I hear the music. Thanks. You gave me some time to talk, huh?
I did.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Butch. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.